Welcome to Software Network's On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I've been SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a moment, how to join us by talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on phone just off 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com. And search for call ID 17702 or Starfleet Universe on call or SFU on call. You should find us there. And of course, if you want the best online experience, you want to go to twitch.tv, yes, twitch.tv/SFU on call, and you will find us there. You'll be able to join the wonderful chat room and join the live feed and see my beautiful face. You know, can't get better than that. And of course, you need to contact me for any reason. My email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com, sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter or X, whatever it's called this week. Sorry. A lot of people are just calling it Twitter and they dropped the whole X part. But my podcasting account is sfuoncall. Of course, my personal account is Paul France, PaulFranz. Yeah, there's no T in that. And of course, there is my business account, which is Franz Games, FranzGames. And again, there's no T in that. And of course, the lovely TalkCast gets into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the nets. Not much going on this week. Actually, I'm not sure how much Mr. Petrie's got working on the Orion Master Starship book. He's been having some issues. I don't think he has a computer at the moment. But we'll see what turns out. You know, maybe we'll have Gene working on that. I haven't heard anything from A to B about exactly what's going on there. When it comes to the found on the online store for this week, yes, we are going to share the most wonderful Star Mata product that is, well, it's there. It's always been there, which is, of course, the Romulan Armada Unity Edition. Uncloak and strike from the shadows. The Meaning of Empires of this famous game system of, you know, Starfleet Universe. The Romulan Armada was done as a joint venture between ADB and Majestic 12 Games. The 84-page rulebook includes essential Star Mata rules, just like the Klingon Star Mata. 37 ships, including Romulan Federation and Gorn. And 8 bases, the Romulan, Gorn, Federation, Klingon, Zinti, and Tholian, and the complete rules to bring Starfleet Universe alive in the Star Mata game system. Again, the fast-playing game easily handles squadrons of ships as they enter their enemies and battle to see who is indeed the best commander. Ships included a Federation battlecruiser, the Concordat-class Dreadnought, the Strike Cruiser, the Romulans Dreadnoughts, both the Behemoth and the Condor classes, the Heavy Cruiser, the Fast Hawk, Firehawk, and Kestrel classes, the Command Cruiser, Conqueror, Nova Hawk, and Royal Hawk classes, and the Gorn Heavy Battle Cruiser, Command Cruiser, Medium Cruiser battle stations for both the Gorns and the Romulans, and mobile bases for the Federation, Gorn, Klingon, Cities, Romulans, and Tholians, and Armed Priority Transport, and many other ships. And a reminder, of course, that this book is the complete rulebook that includes all the rules that you need to actually play Star Mata, unlike some of the other ones, which are expansions and require either Romulan or Klingon ones to play, because they have the full rules. And of course, this is Unity Edition. There's a reminder that this edition unifies both the Nova and Emeralty editions. Personally, I've always liked the Emeralty edition of the rules better. I really don't think the Klingon Armada of the Emeralty edition was that good, but that's me. I had certain issues with the way the rules translated, especially the seeking weapons. I think that was a bad thing to do. But you know, of course, the new rules preserves both systems, and actually that gives you some options going back and forth. But there's one of the things I really like about Star Mata, which is, of course, that's in Star Mata, you have to You like it's an option. I hate that word. In this case, because I really feel like it's the best way to play, which is pre-plotted movement. And that's one thing that Stomata, when I first was introduced to the Admiralty edition, that was shown to me at Origins, which was a great and that was a really nice demo for what I wanted. So moving onward and forward, when it comes to the SMB Online tournaments, actually we do have a non-Sapphire Star tournament going. It is an interesting one. It's called Massive Attack, the Alliance versus Coalition tournament. It is basically it's a you put it here, I forget. Okay, basically it's a round robin tournament. He didn't put it in the description, but I remember from the email they sent out about this, which is a round robin tournament. Not exactly what that means, but it is what it is. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to the library, actually I got working on the library this week. Had some time, so what I did was I added some fixes that Frank LeMay had sent me for the Federation. I think I forget. I think maybe a Lyran or two, or no, Zindi. I think it was Zindi. And Matthew Potter, who added the Carnivon fighters and some other of the Carnivon ships, also were with that. And he fixed the Hydran PR, which I have to double check because I don't remember. I actually remember. Oh, I forgot to upload that. I'm sorry. I will get that uploaded tonight. And when it comes to the Federation Commander Library, no progress there. I still have two ships which I need to add, and I apologize it's taking so long. And with that is the news for this week. It's me, one of my own Paw fans, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we got Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And you got me. And without me, there would be no show, so I'm important. But tonight, well, I can't talk about the Sapphire Star tournament because it's over. Just a quick reminder, there actually is a new tournament that's being run by Carl Magnus. I forget his last name. Old time SMB player. So Carl Magnus is running a tournament, Coalition versus I forget Coalition one side, I forget what the other side was. That's awful. I should know these things. Alliance. Okay. Anyhow, it's a round robin tournament. I don't think he's accepting any entries. I think he already has entries that he wants, and but they're running another tournament. I'm not keeping an eye on it at the moment because it's a round robin, so it makes it a little more difficult to actually understand where people are and so forth. I'll check the web pages and hopefully give you an update in the future. In the meantime, what we're going to do is start off with the monster of the week. And the monster of the week is the ice monster. Just give me a sec. This was introduced in module S2. And I'm going to switch it over. So, whoops. Excuse me. I forgot to put up my little Twitch monitor. Looks like I can see my lovely face over there. Wow, that big of a wow, I didn't realize it was that big of a delay. But anyway, to do switch it so you can see the rules as I just review them for for people. The ice monster is a new type of monster discovered by the ever-exploring forces of the Starfleet. Can this one be stopped before it inflicts unguessable damage? Is your lone ship enough to stop this menace? Got just
two
things. It's a one player game, so it's a solo game. Monster moves automatically. Movement is pretty simple. It basically, the monster always moves towards the closest ship as a seeking weapon. It can move a maximum of speed 32. I have not looked to see when you actually would move slower than 32.
When you attach to somebody else.
Oh, okay.
When it gets you.
I guess does it move to speed? The monster is then immediately reduced to speed 0 by becoming detached from the ship. Okay. And it has. Let's think acceleration real quick. Probably the standard acceleration. The monster cannot do a head or use erratic maneuvers. An exception is if the monster is one hex of a stop ship and not facing the ship, it can head to face the ship. It has acceleration of plus 1 per impulse. Wow. If it stops. So, if you actually, you kind of, it sounds like you wanted to attach to your ship and then detach it from your ship and then keep it at a very slow speed, that it'll take so much time to actually increase the speed. Of course, it starts at speed 32. As I mentioned, that's, you know, it's, seeking weapon. If there's more than one ship, then you have to roll a die to determine which ship it's going to go after. If two of them are the same distance. As exception of okay. And that's one thing I do not know what the when it comes to this. The order of precedence seemed out 313. The monster always moves after step 4 and before step 5. And I'm not sure exactly what that means when it comes to you. Is that between like ships and seeking weapons, or is it something else? I'd have to look at that, because that's a rule I'm not that familiar with when it comes to the step numbers and what moves in each step. Yeah, it's giving an example where okay, the monster was reduced to 0, an impulse 10. On the following impulse, it, you know, on the list 11, it'll be speed 1, speed 2 on impulse 2, speed 3, impulse 3, 13, blah, blah. That actually makes it very interesting, because it is possible to have a really weird situation occur where you increase your rate of speed for the next impulse, but when you increase the rate of speed, you no longer move. Especially the lower speeds. If you ever looked at the impulse chart, the slower speeds, it's like an angle like this, where this is the slower speed, then this is the upper, more speed. So that you can keep moving, you know, keep missing the next move, so you're not actually moving for a while.
Well, that sounds like a planning thing there, huh?
Yeah. What was that, Doug? I'm sorry.
That sounds like a planning issue.
Yeah. Well, it could be if you're planning for the monster not to move. I did not check. Of course, as the monster is moving like a seeking weapon, the first impulse that it actually enters the hex of the ship, it does seeking weapon damage during the seeking weapon damage step. You roll 2 dice and apply that many damage to the shield. One thing I did notice, which is which is P panels will not absorb any energy from the attack by the monster and will not protect the ship. So Andromeda's best just flee away from this monster. Don't mess with it, because it'll just kill you. Plain and simple.
No, I think you can take it, Paul.
Grr. Wow. JKX. And there's kind of a weird one in my mind, and that's if the ship enters the monster's hex, the shield number one will be the one damaged unless it's moving in reverse, which is shield number four. To me, that means that if you're moving forward and you side slip into the hex of the ice monster, even though you enter the hex on the shield number six, you're going to do damage against shield number one. You know, it's just, that's kind of quirkiness. Is because it says if, boom, 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 where is it? Right here. That when you roll two dice and apply the damage to the shield, which was facing the hexile through which the monster entered. So if the monster enters where the ship is, it goes, it hits that shield. But if the ship enters where the monster is, it goes to shield number one. If it's going forward. Again, that's just kind of weird. I'm not sure why they have that rule in place instead of just having said always is a facing shield, which makes to me more sense. I did not like that. If, as a result of any attack, you know, from the previous rule, the ice monster must and rolls a 10 or greater, so a 10, 11, or 12, it attaches itself to the ship. Uh-oh, that's not good. The monster will attack the ship on each succeeding impulse during the seeking weapon damage, except that the damage scored is applied to all shields as an enveloping weapon. All shields will be damaged the same amount. If the monster scores 5 points of damage, every shield will be hit with 5 damage points. Yikes. So if you roll a 12, 12 points of damage for every single shield. That's a nasty little bugger. The total internal damage, however, will not exceed the die roll. Okay. How could it? Oh, okay. Okay. So if you have no shield and he rolls a 5, there's only 5 internals that you can get. This continues until the ship is destroyed. The monster rolls a 5 or less. The damage from this roll will still score, at which point it has become detached and has left the current hex at the speed 0, and though it can be immediately begin acceleration, the monster is only reduced to speed 0, becoming detached from the ship, not a fighter or shuttle, but includes PS. For purposes of detaching the monster but not reducing damage, every point of reserve power expended for external hull heating while the monster is attached will modify the die roll by -1 for that impulse only. The drone's powder banks are their main strengths against the monster, as they can virtually guarantee it will not remain attached, which is kind of good given that everything is internals. The monster cannot attempt to reattach itself to the ship for quarter of a turn. Or after this, it becomes detached. So, restrictions. These are permanent effects on the ship as a result of the monster attaching itself. As a result of secretions of the monster. Maneuver! For the remainder of the scenario, you begin the impulse below following one in which the creature attaches itself. The turn mode is increased by 1. Its movement cost is increased by 1/5, i.e. 20%. Includes costs of HETS and EM. And 1 is subtracted from the breakdown. Oh, fun. These penalties are applied, again, cumulatively if monster succeeds in attaching itself again. After each subsequent attachment, the ship cannot separate sections. And turn moment can never be worse than the turn mode of F. And movement can never be worse than 4 times the ship's original movement cost, i.e. 4 for a CA, 6 for a Dreadnought, 8 for a B-10. And the breakdown roll can never be worse than A-3. Well, subsequent direct fire weapons are penalized by a +1 shift, so you automatically have an ECM shift. Though I don't, and I assume this is a +1, and it's not, because it's a effect of the secretions. That means doing ECCM will not offset the shift. The direct fire weapon mod can never be worse than +4. Wow, can you imagine worse than +4? Yay. Seeking weapons, any seeking weapon guided solely by the ship lose their tracking. Any self-guided can no longer be guided by the ship, and any seeking weapons self-guided are guided by MRS, which strike the monster will affect the ship equally as if the ship were docked to the monster. While the monster is attached, the ship cannot launch any seeking weapons. Plasmas can be bolted, though. Yeah, but range zero, don't you get feedback?
So if you have, like, several ships and it's attached to one, you know, does it take explosion damage? Because, you know, you're going to kill both units, though, if he explodes. Yeah, kill it anyways. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He attaches to that Klingon penal ship. Is it really a loss for the Empire? If the other ships kind of like get all their seeking weapons on it because of that sacrifice.
Yeah, true. close range fire can direct fire weapon while it's attached as range zero function. If the weapon has a range of function, all such weapons fired at the range will automatically hit, do no more damage. But a standard or approximately could not be fired. Correct. However, the feedback damage from the weapon or the feedback function is doubled. Oh. Oh, that's nasty. In addition,
that's
fair. Yeah, because if I recall correctly, I thought the when it comes to bolting plasma, that if it's rains, no, actually, no, it's not. No, that's launching. I don't know about bolting.
No, I don't think there's any feedback on bolting.
Okay. Yeah, because I know there was, I remember there was a 25% feedback damage if you launched a range zero and hit your target.
While you're both at range zero, yes.
Yeah.
Even if you both move, yes.
Right.
Well, if you're still in the same hex, same zero, yeah, you're taking feedback.
Yep. Okay, what was that? One of my kitties. Sounds like Suki. The new one. The little cute little kitty. Right. Okay. Let's hit the tactics real quick. It says, keep your speed up. Duh. Do not let the monster get close. Again. Duh.
Don't be an andro.
Don't be an andro, yeah. Have reserve power.
Although they can displace it. So you can use your displacement device to create
against,
effect here.
Against it or yourself.
Yeah. As long as you don't get like, nailed by it, you're okay.
Yeah. And the beauty about self-displacement in this scenario, you go up to 12 hexes. This is not tournament. This is regular SFB, so you got 12 hexes, so you should be able to keep a good distance from him. And as it was pointed out,
what's the cooldown on doing that?
What's that?
What's the cooldown? Is it every turn or every other turn?
It takes two turns to arm it.
Okay.
So it can fire every other turn. Yeah, okay, I had a key. One thing I did not look for, which is victory conditions. Destruction. The monster can be killed, scoring 500 damage on it.
Good luck.
Right. Yeah. That's a lot of damage.
But you can modify that too.
Oh yeah, it's modified based on the BPV of the ships that you use. So it could be smaller or larger.
Yeah, better or worse.
Yeah. Can you imagine having like a 1,000-point fleet? 1,000-point fleet. Let me look at this. BPV times 4.
Dude, it would be so bad, it would probably just eat one of them at a turn.
Yeah, oh. If it was a 1,000-point fleet, you have to do 4,000 points damage to kill it.
Yeah. And during that time, it's probably going to kill at least one of your ships.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Considered a retrograde. Big surprise. These are tactics. Hit the monster with your weapons as often as you can. A big surprise. Keep your batteries full. And repaired.
500 points of damage as quickly as you can.
Yeah. Carefully every fire at an attached monster as you can. You can do maybe more harm to yourself than you can stand. Yep. Because the feedback is doubled. Apologize. It's been a busy week. Got our kitchen redone, but that means I have to keep an eye on the guys. You know, no naps, and I'm behind in things like, oh, I need to go grocery shopping. Couldn't go shopping because of they were here. So anyway, I think since we have time, we'll move on to the Metamorph. Reports of a strange monster in a distant sector puts a fleet on alert. A detachment is dispatched to deal with the monster. But this is a new monster as a surprise for the ships. The fleet, no more than 300 BPV. The Metamorph starts basically in the middle of the map. Bum, bum, bum. Again, excuse me. Again, it was module S2 is where it came from. Okay, Metamorph. The speed of Metamorph is determined by the initial activity as follows. Roll 3d6, speed of monster, then roll 1d6. If an odd number is rolled in 1d6, the speed of the monster is doubled. Note that this means the monster may have a speed anywhere from 3 to 36. For any given turn. In the event this a greater speed is greater than 32, C1.45, which I think I know exactly how you would do it. The Metamorph is doing 34, additional moves take on 8 and 24. Yeah. If the Metamorph is moving speed 36, then it's 8, 16, 24, and 32. Relatively simple. At all speeds, the Metamorph is a turn mode 1. The Metamorph can only turn or side slip. It cannot perform any other movement function, head, EM, ED, docking, etc. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. The Metamorph doesn't take any asteroid ring or dust damage when it comes to its terrain. And it cannot land on planet or enter atmospheres. And okay. I was checking to see if the scenario as laid out has a planet. It doesn't have a planet. But obviously you can do that as an alternate rule. It cannot penetrate the wind radius zone with no ill effect. It can, sorry. penetrate with no ill effect, and can fire a unit at planetary surface as if it were in space. Okay. Systems. Oh, fun. Oh, lots of die rolls.
Yeah.
Members cannot be held by tractor or web.
Oh, my.
Cannot be displaced or placed in status. Ooh. Monster is not affected by generated ECM, but is by natural ECM, including the Orion stealth bonus and small target modifiers. And the monster is not affected by cloaks and treated cloaked targets as if they're not cloaked.
Yeah, no hiding for you.
Right, but
the secret other
weapons
one was like that too.
Are affected by the cloak. Oh, geez. The weapons available to the Metamorph will change almost every turn. To determine which weapons will be available at a given turn, do the following. Take three sets of counters, number them 1 to 6. Why not just use a die, a d6? Place them in the cup. The Metamorph will draw three of these after the determined speed, which is... we've already talked about that. And by examining and totally...
Oh, the reason he's countered right there. It's hidden knowledge.
Right. Oh, that's why you use counters.
Yeah.
Okay. And has available the coming turn. You then place these counters face down on the table until the end of the turn or until he launches his weapons. At this time, the fleet player will examine the counters to verify that the Metamorph is not a cheater. All weapons are 360. Okay. Okay. Oh, I'm assuming if that happened, you'd have to redo. I don't see any mention of it initially.
What's that?
Turn one. If you're turn one and you basically collect a total of 10 when it comes to counters, it says retain weapons from the previous turn. Well, there's no weapons on the previous turn, or at least not defined. So in my mind, that means just throw that out and repick. Oh, that'd be nasty. If you pick 18, monsters splits into two monsters. Yay! And that is what's 5, 4. It would be right here. Special ability. During the initial activity of each turn, immediately after determining what the weapons are, the Metamorph rolls one die, and both players compare the results to the chart below. This will determine what special ability the Metamorph will manifest during the turn. 6 points of offensive EW. Monster displaces itself. All damage that hits the monster last turn can be used in Mauler Beam. All weapons on monster are X technology mode.
Wow.
Yeah. Monster can roll displaced enemy ships this turn. The monster is able to make one displacement attempt versus each ship, not unit, on the map, subject to all rules of displacement. Roll a 6. Act as the energy monster. Okay, the monster can be destroyed by accumulating 500 points of damage. Alternately, each 50 points of lab information gathered by the fleet may select one weapon or one special option of the Metamorph that will no longer function. Okay, that's alternately. Okay.
Why do they say alternatively? Because then how are you going to kill it?
Well, you kill it by doing 500 points of damage against it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm nitpicking. You know, can be destroyed by accumulating 500 points of damage. Okay. But they say alternatively for each 50 points, that should just be additionally. Unless they're going to give a variation on that. Like, if you keep taking their weapons away, eventually it dies or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give the labs a reason to be used beyond that one little
thing. And also, if it's going to be alternatively each 50 points of lab information, then I assume that if it's alternatively, then you'd use the, what's the one monster chart that you use after you gather so
the
much.
Lab chart.
Yeah. After you gather so much lab, then you can roll and see what you do to defeat the monster, or the monster becomes your friend, or something like that. And Memoir can heal itself. The file records, you roll a 1d6. And you get the 5 to 40 points of damage healed. Victory condition. The Metamorph is destroyed, and less than half of the ships determined by BPV are destroyed. The fleet player wins. If the Metamorph is destroyed and more than half the ships are destroyed, the battle is a draw. Boo. And if the fleet player fails to destroy the Metamorph wins. Yay! And the Metamorph, I assume, is played by a player. I did not look. Yep, it's a two-player. One's monster, one's player is a monster, one's player is the fleet. Tactics. Okay. Actually, playcaster compliments. This is a good way for a cadet to great experience all sorts of weapons, and no matter which side he plays. That's true. Monster. Okay, tactics. Monster, pull away when you need to in order to buy repair time, or if your weapons are too weak, I assume for that turn. It doesn't say, but I'm assuming that's what it means. And fleet, only engage your weapons are fully armed. Launch shuttles, draw the monster to them. It is easy to defeat the monster once you have neutralized its options because of its slow speed. You can afford to move slower as well. Actually, what's speed? I forgot.
I disagree with that.
You disagree with that?
Yeah, I think you should stay fast. Because look what he's going to be using at you. If he's using torpedoes and phasers, basically everything he has on here, you can pretty much hose him on range, except for hellbores.
Right.
Your speed and range. Either or. I mean, if you keep him out of a decent phaser range, you can just pick away at him. If you keep your speed up and he ends up launching plasmas, if that's his only options, you can run them out.
Right.
But if you go slow, you can't run out the plasma as easily.
Agreed.
And if you go slow, then you might not be putting distance in to neutralize the effectiveness of a whole bunch of phaser fours or a whole bunch of phaser ones.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And if you're going too slow, what might happen is that you might have to go slower, i.e., doing emergency deceleration and pop out a weasel if you got a big plasma R heading right towards you.
But why would you want to do that? Why would you want to stop?
Well, if you're going speed 15, it's going to hit you hard.
Yeah, but I'm saying, why would you want to go that slow when you can go speed 25 or so and run?
Understood, but I was just pointing out another reason to keep your speed up. That's all.
It's basically, yeah. That's why. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's why you don't want to be going slow to pop a weasel out. You want to basically be fast enough that you dictate the range and he can't hurt you.
Right.
And it's really that simple. You dictate the range with this monster. You don't have to defend a specific point. You're not in a fishbowl. You can dictate the range completely and slowly generate the damage you need to kill it. Ooh, don't gotta be in a rush.
Mm-hmm. So. Ooh. If one thing I think we both missed, if the plasma torpedo, which is selected as the weapon, the monomorph player can just choose to envelop it.
Yeah, all the more reason not to slow down.
Yep. Get that R, all of a sudden you got a 100-point torpedo heading towards you.
Yeah, that's not good news.
Yes. And I think really wouldn't it be not good news is this one. If the monster player gets 18, the monster splits into two monsters. And it says here that, if the metamorph splits, the two monsters will be identical at the point of division. There's no reduced reduction in strength, although they both have the same level of damage as the original monster at that point. Oh, I'm assuming... Okay, let me just... Since they don't have any account for more than one monster, I'm assuming that the both monsters had to share the same offensive capability. In other words, you pick one set of three counters, and you and based on that, you would have the weapons for all monsters that are based in the scenario if you had the monomorph split. Boy. That could be nasty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A quick thing and here. Can you say that the non-monster player is probably totally hosed at that point?
Yep.
Potentially. Well, and that's another reason why you want to keep your speed up, I guess.
Yeah.
But look at how low a probability that is, though. So, pretty darn low.
Okay, so I was wondering. I was just wondering, and I don't see anything. I was wondering about exactly what I was talking about, which was the offensive capability.
Which one?
Well, yeah. Doesn't have. Darn it. I was looking at the SFB database, basically the update for the special rules for metamorphs, and I was wondering if they clarify when it comes to metamorphs, do you actually use a different set of chits for each monster, or does all the monsters get all the same capability, which could be really bad in the case of 18. So if there was a single die roll, like basically like what kind of Not Narusalo. Damn it, I forgot what I'm thinking of. Which is all your weapons to the one die roll.
Yeah, it's Nero
Yeah,
Sabo.
Narusalo, okay. Okay, I
Is exactly
don't
it.
know. Is it like a Narusalo where, okay, if you have already have two monsters and you got another 18, now you've got from two, you got four monsters.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, which could be really
I would
nasty.
say probably not. I would
Yeah,
say
which
you're
is
probably rolling it for each individual one the next time.
right, which means you have to have another set of counters.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
I
Agreed.
mean, bad enough that that could happen once, but it's like making it like that. Oh, yeah, that would be bad.
Agreed. Agreed. I kind of like the metamorph changes the obvious capabilities with every turn. So you always have to be on, on edge, the fleet player. Of course, also the monster player has to be very
Aggressive.
flexible.
Aggressive. Can he overload anything?
Do-do-do. If a metamorph fires a weapon with an overloaded function, an overloaded range, the weapon is assumed to be fully overloaded. Suicide overloaded in the case of the fusion beams.
There you go.
And what was it? I saw it.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, a
Yeah, very
metamorph never
aggressive.
takes feedback damage or damage from suicide fusions.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's not like
Sounds good
the
to me.
weapons just destroy and you get internals. No ill effects.
Well, that sounds good.
Sounds nasty.
Should run that. I think you should just run all the monsters at like gamers.
Yeah, oh yeah. That's what I want to do. What I need to do is sit down,
Figure
look at
out
the
which ones.
monsters, see which ones, which ones are kind of, I consider beginner monsters. Monsters that are easy to play, even for people who've never know SFB overall of SFB rules and never played SFB in their life.
Well, there's a few of those in there.
Oh yeah. But
But
I'm
here's the
saying.
thing. Here's the thing. Here's the thing, Paul. I think that for newer players, I almost say just do the cadet game. And this is really something that your more advanced players might come out for. Because it's like, what have we seen? I mean, you've had a few people ask about demos for Fed Commander. Nobody asked to play Starfleet Battles unless they're already a player.
That's true.
I mean, if you schedule a thing like this and you're probably going to get more people who already know how to play interested in coming out to do a special thing like that. I'm just saying. That's assuming any of them come out of the woodwork, because it's like, a couple things to throw out for tonight, besides plugging gamers again, which is coming up in Labor Day, which is like right around the corner. I sure could use a schedule from somebody.
I
Hint, hint.
wonder who
Yeah, you.
that could be.
There's don't forget that the big blowout thing in July is they put out their last call.
Yep.
Their last call for RSVPs. I don't think I can go.
I know I can't go.
So.
Unfortunately, it's the same day, same week, I have another convention which I've already committed to go to. I didn't realize they were going to be on the same week. If they pushed it out a week or move it a week either way. I'd make it there in an instant. I don't care about expense.
Well, for me, it's a combination of that, but that plus travel. I'm just not keen on the travel thing. I
Understood.
still have to go to, I still want to go to Texas to visit Mike's grave, but I haven't like been up for the travel part yet.
Right, understood.
Now, the expense part will suck for us at the moment, but whatever method we use, I just don't feel like safe on the travel part yet.
Oh, understood. Understood. You're physically,
And for
yeah.
those of you listening, it's who don't know, I broke my hip last year, late last year, and I'm probably not going to be fully recovered from that until like September or later this year. So,
How is the hip anyway?
annoying. It's just I'm on for the ride, but I'm walk around pretty good at the house most of the time. I don't need the cane, but if I go outside, I'm definitely using the cane. And getting in and out of the car with taking the kids to school and back, I can manage that, but it gets kind of like really painful if I have to go pick up Sweetie from work as well. So, but other than that, it's coming along. I mean, it's just like a long time thing. I don't do a lot of physical stuff right now. So there's that. So at any rate, back to the monsters.
Here's one.
Yeah, I was just kind of
Rawr,
thinking about it. I think there are a few you could
okay,
probably
put it
use
down,
for a new
jeez.
player, but it's teaching. If you want to teach, there's a huge difference between that first impression you make with the game and what the game is about. And it's SFB can be a layer cake in some respects.
Agreed.
And I think really the best thing is to just teach by doing with a couple of very simple ships. And to be blunt, I've never really liked the cadet game. I think it oversimplifies the whole thing. And I think that some of the best teaching is literally just the classic, here, have a D6 versus a classic CA. Two fairly simple ships, fairly simple systems. Earlier in the timeline than the general war, with all the expanded stuff in it and options and special rules. Very
Oh, yeah, I'm
basic,
just.
good kind of fight. Not difficult to pick up. But that's just my personal opinion, and just talking the players through each step of the thing.
Understood.
So.
That's one thing that I differ a little bit in that. Sorry, Kitty went freaky. But anyway, I always felt that to simplify it down, yeah, it's nice to have that classic one-on-one, the Fed CA versus the Klingon D7. But I've always felt when it comes to teaching that you don't want to do that because the CA and the two turn on weapon. And to simplify it down, I prefer the Klingon versus the Zinni because they both have disruptors, drones, i.e., sticking weapons, and phasers. So
I
they're
can see
kind of
that.
the same, but they're definitely different ships because of the focus on phaser threes and phaser ones, depending upon whether you're talking about the D7 or the Zinni. But the disruptors are, I think, are the easiest weapon to use in the game. Single turn army, either you have it armed, overloaded, or not armed at all, at least at the beginning. So, you still got to do all the planning when it comes to the weapons and of course movement and all that. But it's either you're firing or you're not firing. You don't say, "Oh, I need to fire not this turn coming up, but next turn after that. I got to plan and actually have my weapons start to charging them. I might get beat to death by my opponent while I'm recharging my weapons and go from there." Yeah, that's why I find the disruptors on both sides, I think, a better option.
Well, now here's one other caveat to the whole thing, is that I think one of the best things for teaching is to have a motivated student. And it's motivation kind of comes from seeing something that they understand and say, "Hey, I want to try that."
Right.
And like when you were doing the Breezeway in Origins, they would see the Fed CA and the Klingon D7 or D6, and they would say, "Hey, what's that? I want to try that because I know the Star Trek franchise." And that's kind of where I say, you have that classic fight, because the Kazini thing isn't necessarily as well known to most people. And then the other thing that comes to mind is, if you have miniatures, bring them and set it up.
Right.
Because people see the minis, and I think that has a really good effect on whether they
Oh
really
yeah.
want to give it a try or not.
Oh
Because
great, you want
it
the eye
looks
popping
good.
factor and
It's
the miniatures help
not
in
the
that.
19. Yeah, but it's also not the 1980s anymore. Where like people who are into board gaming and war gaming were really into that counter-driven board game stuff. A lot of people nowadays are like into the miniatures thing more than they are into pretty much anything else. So that's just a thought on my part.
Okay. Point taken.
I was as an aside to all that, the thing that I've been working on that you haven't gotten to look at yet, I'm thinking we could probably do an SFB fight with it without playing SFB, but in a similar manner that's
Right.
not driven like that.
Right.
We could give it a try. So.
Understood. Come on. SFB, at least the Star of the Universe, and the ships and so forth have been migrated to different engines. We got, of course, Starmada. We've got Call to Arms. Then we, of course, when it comes to the universe, we have the different RPGs themselves. But that can be done. Of course, in FedCom itself is kind of a spin-off of SFB. Most of us old timers would call it SFB Lite, which it kind of is, kind of isn't. It's its own thing because of the way movement is done versus the actions. But at the same time, I mean, old, as in beginners, when they first introduced SFB, where the standard of what you did for movement was that you would plot your movement, and then so you have possibly action, but you were never thinking about where you were going to move. You knew where you were going to move. You had it all plotted out. So if you wanted to move something differently, you couldn't. You already plotted it out. And then you could actually decide, I'm going to fire or not fire on each impulse. So that would go very much quickly in my mind. But anyway, it's still one one of those proponents of pre-plotted movement. So just because I loved it, I got introduced to it at Origins with Stormata, the Amalty edition, the first taking the Starfleet universe material and migrating it to the MJ-12 games Stormata game system, which is, I think, is a fantastic game system just because of it's so flexible in that you can create your own weapons, how they interact, how they work, you know, are they, how does a range attenuate and all that kind of things. You can, it's really flexible in that regard. Actually, what was it? Darn it. There was something they were talking about that it really doesn't do well. And I forget.
I have no
clue. I think it has to do with like crew and that kind of things. Things that were not combat. I think it really didn't do well. Because it's designed for combat.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
What?
Dave said I lost talk shoe sound.
Oh. Oopsie.
I don't know how that is. Well, since Dave's only the one there, I don't think it really will connect your audio. No? Okay. Doesn't matter because I'm pretty sure. Let me just double check here. And yeah, I'm recording, so I don't think that's a big issue. Hi. Sorry, that's Zooks behind me. But anyway, I think we'll wrap up there. I'm really tired, and we've already gone through two monsters tonight, and also talked about the wonderful Gamers of Winter and some ideas when it comes to SFB and what we want to do for Gamers of Winter. And obviously, I want to get that out
summer.
The door. Summer.
Gamers of Summer. You are tired. Get some sleep.
Yeah.
Rest.
That's what. I'm sure you heard me yawn a few times. So.
Yeah, if you want to come up this weekend, let me know.
No, I'm way too busy this weekend. Oh, jeez.
Okay, or near future, if you wanted to try and like week out the stuff for the podcast, like sitting like next to me so you can see what's going on with everything else. There you go.
Yeah.
Here's that. Just a thought.
Yeah. I want to talk about that again. Not right now, but later, to make sure that if there's anything I need to bring with me, I have, and so forth.
Because I have a little movement on my machines right now. We can talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about doing something fairly soon. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I'm glad I found that webpage for you.
Yeah, I told her about it, and we'll see how it goes. You know, it's like the whole. Don't get me started on that because you want to get going.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought it up.
I don't want to hold you. And then at midnight, we stop talking. Yeah. Uh-huh. Gotcha. All start snoring on air. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you want to wrap her up, there you go.
Yep, I will wrap her up.
Gamers and Winners in a few weekend, few months, Labor Day weekend.
Yep, September.
Those of you going September, and if you guys are going up to the anybody listening going up to the big blowout, tell them we said hi. I said hi. But yeah, I wish I could be there, but I just don't see it happening.
No, I would love to be up there too, and possibly recording a podcast up there. I think that'd be fantastic. Get everyone around, you know. I think that'd be great. But
hey,
that's not gonna happen.
You can do a podcast at Gamers.
That is true.
You can do a podcast at Gamers. They got a connection.
Mm-hmm. I could do a live broadcast from Gamers. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, bring a mobile spot. We have, just as a footnote, I had an inquiry from somebody from that one charity thing that was asking about doing a live stream from there, and I told her, yeah, it wasn't John who does it. It was just a totally different person that I'd never met before. I told her, yeah, they have a connection. You could do it. We'd be glad to have you. So, but it's the same one that John Cannulli does. I just can't think of the. It's I just can't think of the name of it. It's like on the tip of my mind, but where they do like live stream gaming for fundraising for this one medical charity thing. So, but there it is. We'll see how that works out.
Okay. Well, Doug, you have a good night.
Again, thank you.
So we got through two different monsters. We have the ice monster, nasty little guy, especially if he attaches to your ship and just wants to beat the crap out of you. And of course, the metamorph, which is you never know what you're going to get for that turn. Even getting two for the price of one. So, and of course, gamers of summer, and possibly if you're available, if you're in the area, come and meet me, meet Doug. Play some SFB, play some Federation Commander. Hey, you want to play some Stormato? We can play some Stormato. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.